You're listening to an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn, preaching God's word to New York's biggest borough.
So my name is Atea Yenihi. I am married to Valerie, who, I don't know, she's here somewhere. We have two daughters, Jade and Mia, and 10 and 7. Which means at some point I will have two teenage daughters, which I am incredibly not looking forward to. So I was born in Nigeria, Nigerians won, came here, in the late 90s, very interesting stories I can tell you some other time. But became a disciple in 2000 in Buffalo, New York, where I was going to college. So I've been a disciple since that time. And, it's exciting to get the opportunity. Thanks, Phil, for to be able to share this with you. I work in finance. But really what I wanted to share for you guys is just really some things that we normally share. My wife and I do counseling for people who are about to get married, and so we talk about finances, and so we cover a lot of this stuff, and also I think I've shared something like this similarly for the singles at one point, but just wanted to share that with you guys. I don't know what to do with this, bro.
You want me to just hold it?
Just hold it?
Yeah, don't want me to hold it?
I can hold it.
All right, bro. There you go.
All right. So, I think half the stuff I just downloaded, so. Anyway, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures today. You can write them down, you can look them at later, but really, one of the things, that I strongly believe and have a conviction on is that, our finances are an area of our lives that really affect our ability to do what God has called us to do. Okay, in an effective way. And if we are in a good place with our finances, we can be better ambassadors, we can be better disciples, and we can better, achieve the goals that God has called us to do. All you have to do is be a broke college student to understand what I'm talking about, where, it might be nice to hang out, but I don't have the money. Who's paying for this? Until you become single and you have a job, and then, there's liberty because you actually have money. But I think it's such an important, it plays such an important role in our lives as disciples. It is also one of the areas that we don't talk about a lot, I feel. If you think about, on the scale of embarrassing areas to talk about, people will talk to you about their purity before they talk to you about their finances. It's an area that we don't talk about a lot in our fellowship. We don't engage or even ask. When's the last time somebody came up to you and said, "Hey, bro, how you doing with your finances?" You'd probably be shocked and offended. But I'm hoping that we change that mindset, because whatever we're not talking about and dealing with and checking in on each other with, that's the area Satan is going to use to get us. And Satan will just find a way in your finances to drag you down. You will have issues, and people know that things are not well, but you're not talking about it because it's the embarrassing area of finances. And I think we want to be able to change that. So part of it is maybe helping you start out with, what is the actual goal of finances? I think a lot of times when we get the goal of what we're trying to accomplish, well, you get it right, then the steps of actually doing it, it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense to you. A lot of this I learned from Joe Thomas, so it's funny to see you guys here. He sat, my wife and I down and, kind of taught us a lot of these. And so, just continue to learn over the years. So please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. And I think it's always good as a disciple to ground your convictions in biblical principles. The scriptures I'm sharing with you, a lot of them are scriptures that are my own personal convictions that help me build personal conviction from on why finances is important, why it is important to get it right in that area of your life, why it is important to be open, and we'll talk about that some more. So in Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 9 and 10, it talks about honor.
Can you hold the mic up to your mouth? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Can you start again?
Proverbs chapter 3. I said a bunch of stuff about finances and about my life, and now we're in Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. You know, God is making it very clear that the first thing you're supposed to do when you get a harvest, and in our case, our harvest is our paychecks, or if you own a business, it's, you know, when, you know, somebody buys your good or service, purchases your good or service, is the first thing you should be doing is thinking about how to honor God with it, with the things that you own, because it is God that has given it to you. And so you think about, how do I honor him? You know, think about how we honor each other when, you know, this person has been so good to me. They've showed favor to me. I want to find a way to give back. I want to find a way to let them know that how important they are to me. And God has given us everything that we have. And so he wants us to honor him with the first fruits. He talks about, basically it needs to be the priority. Okay? So it's not literally that, you know, the first fruit you harvest, which is what they used to do back then, those are the ones you gave to God. Now it's just having a priority of, hey, I have money. First thing is, how do I give back to God? How do I honor God with my money? And having that mindset. It says, then your barns will be filled. So it talks about, hey, if you are, you know, focused on honoring God with your finances, a lot of other stuff will take care of themselves. You know, and as a matter of fact, the description shows that you're going to have more than you actually need for that. But it's so important to get that mindset right. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, now he who supplies seed for the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Think about this. It says you'll be enriched in every way, and the purpose of it is so that you can be generous in every way. You know, Jesus, if you think about Jesus in his life, one of my people I love to read about in the Bible, Jesus always seemed to have money. You know, whether it was to pay taxes, hey, go get that fish, there's gonna be money in its mouth, or whatever. You know, he was always resourceful in figuring out how to take care of everything. And he was always doing it when there was a need. There was a need, and the need was associated with spreading the gospel. So people are gathered, they're hungry. I'm going to figure out how to make money so we can feed them. I'm going to figure out money so that, you know, we can pay our taxes or whatever the case may be. And so if you're focused on doing and honoring God in everything that you're doing in your life, God wants to provide that so that you can be able to do that. So, getting the mentality right and understanding that the money that you have is from God, belongs to God, and you need to honor him with it first is really, you know, kind of the first step. Once you start to change your mindset that the money you have is not for you to get what you need or what you want, then you can really start understanding the spiritual mindset that, you know, that God wants us to have as it pertains to our finances. Amen? I'm going to skip that slide because, I just think I'm going to lose people if I try to go into that. So the next thing I want to talk about is, well, if it's obvious what God wants us to do with our money, how does Satan attack us in that area? Now, Satan attacks us in many ways. These are the two areas for me where Satan attacks me. He attacks me in terms of, you know, the things I do, and I'll go through the ends of the earth to make this money, right? And he tempts me with that, okay, with making compromises to be able to, you know, advance at my job, or to be able to do something that's going to gain me more money or more wealth in some way. And then he attacks me with greed. okay? You know, greed is simply getting more than what you need, okay? And it's a sin. It's a real sin. We don't talk about greed a lot, okay? But if you read the Bible, there are a lot of consequences for greed. Every time there's like a list of sinners, you know, and sins that people committed that will send them to hell, greed is one of them, okay? And so sometimes it's hard for us to admit that you're greedy, that you want more than you need, you know, and that will lead you, Satan will play on that, Satan will use that, okay, envy, wanting to, you know, wanting to have more than you need. So these are scriptures that really help me with my own struggles, you know, my struggles of wanting to be a workaholic and my own struggles of desiring things that I don't need, you know, more than what I need, you know. So I'll just share them really quickly. Proverbs 23:4, it says, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. You know, in the old King James, he used to say, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. It's just, you have lost your mind, and you are willing to go to do whatever, including compromise your convictions, all in the name of getting wealthy. Like, it's to honor God. God doesn't want us to be, sinning in order to, you know, accomplish this goal, you know, in order to get the money. There are very many legal ways to get it and many righteous ways to get it. We don't need to compromise our convictions. Yeah. You know, this comes up a lot for me in finance. You know, there are constantly opportunities to compromise your conviction, and there is an opportunity for advancement or to make more money out of it. Ever since I've been in this field, I've seen people advance, you know, being willing to compromise their convictions on the edges. One of the things I can tell you is I have been able to advance as well by holding on to my convictions. I remember I've shared this story before. One of my first bosses that really believed in me, one time he asked me to lie, and I told him, no, I'm not going to lie for him. And this was about, you know, a month and a half into, like, my old boss got let go. He comes in, so he's in clean house mode. You know, who am I going to keep and who am I going to get rid of? And here I am telling him, I'm not going to lie for you, so I don't know what you want to do with that. He ended up liking that more. He was like, yeah, that's what I want. You know, but at first he was kind of like, where are you coming from with this? I've had different bosses ask me to do different things. I mean, one of my bosses, single guy, wealthy, and he's like, why don't you, you know, respond to your emails on Sundays? I'm like, I don't respond to emails on Sunday, work emails on Sunday. You know, I go to church, I'm a Christian. I'm like, you hit me up on Saturday, I'll hit you back, but not Sunday. And he was just kind of like incredulous, like, what are you talking about? You know, and I was like, no, this is it. None, you know, standing up for my convictions, my biblical convictions, has never stopped me from advancing. And that's what God wants you to do. Don't compromise in any way. You know, Proverbs 23:4, it says, humility is the fear of God. Its wages and righteousness are honor of life. You need to be humble, and you need to realize who you're serving. You know, you're serving God, the creator of the world. He can grant you and open any doors that he needs to. You don't need to be prideful and think that you're going to get through it on your own. And you don't need to lose yourself in the pursuit of quote-unquote happiness. You know, it's okay if some people advance faster than you. I've seen them advance faster than me, and it's the people that are willing to, you know, make the compromises, and that's okay. You know, it's not a competition. I'm just here to make enough money to take care of my family. That's my mindset. And that needs to be our mindset as well. You know, this world is not our own. We're just here right now. Okay? And so it is not about gaining this world while losing our souls. Amen? All right. The second thing I want to talk about is the misery of greed. So in Philippians 4, I'll just read this one. It says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And you know what? We need to, you know, like that's the mindset you have to have. These are the scriptures you need to read and wrestle with, you know, about being content with what God has given you. Okay, and not wanting more. I grew up in Nigeria. Trust me, everything I have here is all gravy. Okay, but you know, don't tell my kids that. You know, they think you know I'm holding them back. You know, and things like that. But I understand what it is to. I mean, I have drank water that is not clear. You know, and you know, I'm still here to tell the tale. So, like understanding this on a heart level, being content with what God has given you, being content with what God is giving you right now, not being envious of others, whether it's people in the world or whether it's your own brothers and sisters, you know, not being envious of what they have or wanting what they have. It doesn't mean that you don't have desires and goals that you're working towards. It's that you don't let it consume you, and you don't let it, you know, lead you to greed and other kinds of sins, you know. And I think as you keep thinking about it for you, in your life, you really need to be honest, and maybe you need to pray, maybe you need to confess, whatever it is, how you've been compromising simply because you've been trying to get ahead financially. Amen?
Amen.
So these are kind of the steps, the priorities. I don't know, how am I doing on time? Okay, these are kind of the priorities that we talk about. When we get together with couples, we talk about these priorities and we say, hey, these are the things that you need to have. And this is a step-by-step priority. So the top one is the first one and so on and so forth. So when you get paid, you know, you make some money somewhere, you know, in whatever way, the first thing you need to do is giving to God your first and your best. So you can write it down, Numbers 18, 29, and those scriptures. But I'll just share with you some of the things. I mean, you know, when you read these scriptures, they're really convicting. Numbers 18, God says, I want the best and holiest part. The best and the holiest part. In Exodus, it says, bring the best. You know, and then in Leviticus, it talks about, don't give me blemished stuff. It's better that you didn't bring anything than to bring something blemished. And so today you might think, well, I don't have a lamb that's blemished that I'm giving to God, right? But sometimes when you've agreed to give to God in terms of contribution or tithes, and then you're not doing it, you know, that you're giving him less than your best. You know, and you don't have a plan that like, hey, you know, it was low this month, I'm gonna make it up next month or something like that. You're giving God less than your best. And you know what? Again, like I said, this is the area where you can compromise the most because no one's asking you. No one's, you know, no one's checking your bank account to see if you're honoring your commitments. Right? It's between you and God. For me, that's the scariest place to be. It's between me and God. Because I know God knows. And God is the only one that really matters, right? I mean, you might know about my sin. I don't care. You know, and you know, if you ridicule me. But if God is ridiculing me, I'm in real trouble. You know, in Galatians, it talks about, you know, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. It's in Galatians 6. You know, and that scripture makes it clear. You might fool everybody, but you're not fooling God. And he will not be mocked. He will not be made fun of. You know, he sees where your heart is. And if you are truly giving him your best, your first and your best. Some of the numbers I put up there, those are the amounts that my wife and I have given to the church in those years. Okay? And I put them up here for, you know, to start the conversation. I don't care that you know how much we gave to the church. You know, that's what I want to do as a disciple. And it's, you know, and we need to get over this taboo of talking about our finances and actually start talking about it. You know, it went up from 27 to 2018 because I got a promotion. And that's why it went up. Because that's what you're supposed to do. You give more when God blesses you with more. Okay? You know, when we think about our finances, we think about how much we make gross. Not net, gross. right? And that's because, you know, by the time you get your paycheck, a bunch of people have been paid, right? Some of them voluntarily, some of them, not by choice. But you know what? The net amount I'm taking home is that's not where it starts. It started with the gross. And so I think about how do I honor God from that perspective. And I think you have to think about it that way. We have to get over it. You know, it needs to be something that is part of your discipling times. I'm not telling you go tell everybody all your financial business, but you need to tell somebody about your financial business. You need to, you know, in your discipling times, it needs to be a topic. Just like evangelism is a topic, just as your marriage or your single life or your purity or dating or all those other things that, you know, to anybody in the world would be ridiculous and uncomfortable to talk about, we all talk about it. We need to be talking about our finances, how we're doing, what's going on, are we struggling, getting help, getting input, being open and honest if we're struggling in this area. Amen?
Amen.
Pay your taxes. Romans 13, verse 7. God is very, very clear about that you need to give, you know... No, that's 13:8. I'm saying, it says, "Give to everyone what you owe. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. Respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." God is very clear. You owe the government of the place you live in, you pay it. But I tell you, I don't agree with what the government's going to do with the taxes. I don't see this part in the scripture.
Come on, bro.
I bet you Jesus didn't agree with what the Romans were doing with that money. You know, but it didn't stop him from paying his taxes when he was here. You know, so if you're that concerned, I don't know, run for office, do something, and you can be in charge of doling out our tax dollars and figuring out the right way to do whatever. But if you live in this country, you pay the taxes of this country. If you live in the state and whatever the taxes are, we don't cheat it.
That's right.
You're not cheating on your taxes. If you're making money that in a cash business, you're not cheating. Okay? The world is full of influences to figure out how to cut corners. If you want to cut corners, you're in the right country. We will figure out how to cut corners in every way. But not us. We have to be different. We are called. We are set apart. Those things are not just words in 1 Peter. That's who you are. And so you're set apart in the way you deal with your finances as well. You pay your taxes. Whether they take it out, naturally or, you know, whatever it is, you pay it and you don't owe the government anything.
Come on,
bro. You know, and that's the conviction that you need to have. The next thing you need to do is provide for your family. Notice, talk about honoring God and paying your taxes before we get to providing for your family.
Yeah.
Okay? This is the way that you need to think about it. You know, providing for your family, what are we talking about? Food, clothing, shelter, healthcare, and education. The basic necessities is what we're talking about. Okay? We're not talking about providing, you know, that lavish thing for your family, right? Obviously, if you're in a good place, you can obviously do that. But if you're not, you need to provide the bare minimum for your family. Okay? Let me read you the scripture. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, it says, "Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." You know, anytime you read a scripture where it's so bad, the comparisons, like, it'll be worse for you. You ever read that scripture? It's like, it's better to have a millstone around your neck. You know, it would have been better if you never became, you know, get to know the faith. It's just like, those are bad things. Okay? And so, you need to understand that God is saying, this is that serious. You need to take care of your family. If you're single, that just means take care of yourself. You know, if you have kids, it means take care of your kids. If you have family, it means to take care of your family. Okay, it does not say, you know, and you do it together. My wife and I, you know, everything I'm talking about, you know, this isn't like, oh, this is for the guys and then I'm going to have another slide for the women. No, this is for everybody who is a disciple. Okay, to provide for your own household and to take care of them. If you're not providing basic things for your family, we should be talking to you about it. And when I mean we, I mean you. Your brother, your sister, you see that, you're just not taking care of your kids. they don't have the proper clothes and attire, and you know, you can't afford a coat. Let's talk about your finances. Why can't you afford a coat for your child? You know, why can't, you know, these are real conversations that we need to encourage and have with each other. In love, obviously, but, you know, because we need to make sure that we're not struggling in this area. Paying your debts. You know, Romans 13:8, it says, you know, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. It says, you know, pay your debts. Now, your debts are below, you know, because you need to figure out, you need to take care of your family. Okay? So, if you owe money, you just need to find out and work out some payment plan to pay it. That works for you. You know, you need to figure out, how am I going to pay this? Ignoring the debt collectors is not a solution. Okay? You need to pick up the phone. You need to be honest with them. And you need to ask for help. Listen, you don't need to be embarrassed about it. I've signed, you know, it's called Credit Guard of America. I signed up for it after I ran up a bunch of debt early in my, you know, when I was single. And I signed up for it. They figured out a payment plan for me, reduced all my, you know, payments. You know, they worked with all my creditors, reduced all my payments. I was on it for like 2 years, you know, and I followed the process, and I paid it off. I paid off all the debts that I owed at that time that were killing me. I was ignoring, and then my roommate's like, my housemate, like, we were renting a house. He's like, why can't I pick up the phone in my own apartment? Okay? This is real. This is sin. Okay? And so you need to figure out a payment plan, something. Companies will work with you. Okay? They want their money back. Okay? And they are willing to wait and work with you. Okay? If you're not responding, then they think you're just trying to run, and then they come at you hard. But if you call them and you work with them, they'll forgive some of it, they'll reduce it. They're just trying to, you know, because the company has investors, and the investors have a rate of return they're trying to achieve. But if they get less than that, they'll still live. Okay? And so it's part of the psychology of the way it works, you know. So if you owe money, talk to them and figure out something. If you owe money to people,
come on.
You owe that sister that money. And you know you owe her the money. And every time you see her, you act like you don't owe her money. You're in sin. You need to go up to her and say, you know what, sis? I'm sorry. I owe you money. I can't pay right now. Can we work something out? Can we work a payment plan out or anything so that you can honor this scripture? You know, these things I'm talking about, you'll do if you're convicted and you have biblical principles. Okay? Not because a Tay said to do it, but because you studied it on your own and you came to your own conviction and you're going to go do it and go take care of it. I think it's so important because this is because what's going to happen? Every time she sees you, she's going to be like, acting like she don't owe me money. Now she's struggling. She's struggling with evil thoughts. She's at home, like, thinking about all the kind of things she want to say to you and do when she sees you. Now, you know, now it's discipling times and people are, you know, she's walking around angry. Some brother was going to ask her on a date. He's like, that sister's angry. I'm walking away. Like, you done messed up the whole fellowship because you don't want to be honest.
Yeah. Come on.
The last thing you need to do is figure out how to. The last thing you need to figure out how to do is be safe for the future, and be generous with what God has given you. Okay. You do not be like the guy we read about in the Bible, where it's like, you know, storing up his barns and, oh, I'm gonna build new barns, and, you know, and then he's just dead. We you know, God is like, well, isn't that what God said? You know, like, tomorrow you're dead. So, you know, my firm manages money for wealthy people, and, you know, it took me a while to get used to the amount of money. Like, when they talk about money, when they say five, it doesn't mean $5. And And so you imagine you're helping them make the investments and all these things, and then you realize, and a lot of times these people, they're not happy. They have all this money. They're not happy. I mean, we found out today one of them is like gonna go to Switzerland to do like some assisted suicide. They have a lot of money. Okay, and I'm just like, wow, you know, this all that money is not going to get you to be happy. So what you really need to do is not just save, but you need to figure out how to be generous and give. From the small that you have, you give.
Right.
You know, it's something that, you know, Marvin and I were trying to instill in our kids of just sometimes they feel moved to give to a homeless person. I give them a little money so they can do it and get in the habit of having compassion for people and giving to people and also being disciplined to save. And, you know, in order to kind of help us be disciplined with things, we just do a lot of, you know, direct deposits. Right. So it's like, OK, I have this account. Just take it out. Because I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go put that money in that account. But if you take it out, when I come to the bank, I'm going to be like, oh, this is all I have. Okay, all right. I got to work with this. We have accounts that, like, I mean, they exist, but when I'm thinking about money, they don't exist to me. It's only the checking account exists. And it's like, there's nothing in here. So whatever you need to do to manage your life well, to make sure that you're saving and you're being generous, is important. The same thing for special contribution. We have an account, and the money just goes in there. So when special contribution time comes, we just go get that money and give, right? That's, you know, because otherwise, like, if you just showed up that 2 months, I'd be struggling with all the other things. I'd be like, I don't have money to give. You know, what is this zero that Phil's talking about? But if you do it systematically, over the year, you can get there. You know, that's important to keep in mind. Amen? Yeah. All right, so we'll just end up here. So, you know, really I want to encourage you guys to invest wisely. A lot of things to invest in with the wealth and the money that God has given you. You know, given to fund God's work locally and globally, maybe some of you need to travel globally to see how your dollars impact, the impact it makes. I've gone to Nigeria with my family. I've seen how far it goes. I mean, every evangelist I met there was like having somebody live in their house. And I'm like, you don't even make that much money. And here you are providing for other people. And then I felt embarrassed. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, I need to give more because I see how much you're making an impact and a change in people's lives. You know, people become disciples, people kick them out. You know, their family kicks them out. Now they have to live. It's a very, very different mindset. It's not, I mean, there's not a lot of opportunity. And so, like, if you're not living with your parents, you know, until you land a job, you're going to be in real trouble. And so just to see how much they give and how much they do, and how impactful it is. People are becoming disciples. Remember going there right after church. People were fellowshipping. Only like half the people were fellowshipping. The other half were pulling up and doing studies right there. And I was just like, oh my goodness, half the church is studying the Bible with people. And I'm like, how can I give more to make sure they pay their rent so that they can keep doing this and impacting people's lives? You know, I don't know. Sign up for Hope. Sign up for one of these things that will help you see the impact. Okay? Invest in your own spiritual development. So sometimes we think about, you know, these events that the church puts together as just like, oh, I got to go to another church event.
Right. Come on.
You need to start thinking about it as I got to invest in my spiritual growth. If I'm going to a conference, I'm, you know, at work, when I go to a conference and they pay for me to go there, or I go somewhere, when I come back, they're like, okay, what are the takeaways? What did you learn? What are the things that, you know, otherwise we're not sending you there anymore. Because they want to see a return on the investment. When you sign up for the singles retreat, you sign up for Orlando, you sign up for whatever, you need to have the mindset of what are going to be the takeaways? And I need to take things and I need to use them. My wife and I, a couple years ago, we talked about, like, you know, she was just like, we need to stop going to these marriage retreats and we're not going to do what they say there. So then I was like, okay. So we started to do the things that we learned at marriage retreats. Like, you just need to be honest with yourself and invest. Invest in your spiritual growth. These things are not, the church doesn't put this on so we can have events that we're doing. I'm sure, you know, there are other things people could do with their time. They do it to invest in our spiritual growth. And you pay for it to invest in your spiritual growth. Okay? And I think that's how you have to start thinking about some of these things. Invest in your own professional development in terms of your education, you know, or starting a business or whatever the case may be. You know, make the time and the effort and invest in that. And that's how you use your money. You invest your money wisely. You should have a regular savings account. You should have an emergency savings account. I'm going over stuff that should be trivial to some of you, but really, it's important to have these things in place. You know, because it gives you some level of financial security. You know, every time there's an emergency, we're not in panic mode. Because, okay, all right, maybe we can do this, and maybe, you know, recently my dad, it's an old man in Nigeria, and old people sometimes do crazy things and don't think about the, how it impacts others. He just decided, oh, I'm gonna move to the village. Just like, why? Okay. So now everyone's scrambling, like, oh, now we have to, like, you know, make sure he has a place, and the place didn't have everything that was needed. So, like, we all had to send money so, like, one of my sisters can go make sure there's running water and all these things. And I'm just like, why are you just disrupting everybody's lives? But you know what? That will happen. And if you're not, if you're in a good financial position, then you're in a good financial position to actually contribute and give. I'm not saying my dad's in the right. I'm just saying. Okay? Having a retirement account. Some of you work for companies that will match your 401k, or some of you work for companies that will give you a pension and things like that. I call that free money. Yeah. You know, if you work for a place that's willing to give you free money, you take it. Right. And you invest it. And you invest your 401k or your retirement account, or you open up a retirement account of your own if it doesn't have one. It is so important. That's how you're going to take care of yourself in the future. When you retire, you know, your kids are not there to take care of you. You're just going to be a burden to them. They need to be burden-free from you so that they can go and hopefully their disciples and make an impact and not worry about, you know, be stressed in your 20s because they have to take care of their parents. You do that by, you know, saving for retirement so that you're financially secure and you don't have to burden them with that stuff. Life insurance is big. I mean, I'm just learning more and more about life insurance. And life insurance is just, they created these things for wealthy people, and wealthy people buy them all the time. They have so much insurance, you won't even know. And there's a reason why. College savings plans, we have that for our kids, and we're putting away little by little. You know, I don't know if it's going to be enough. The price of college is really high. So I'm like, you better know how to hit a jump shot or something. I don't know if it's going to be enough. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't put something away for your kids. You're thinking about taking care of your family.
Yeah.
Okay. Investment accounts. You know, the other thing people do is you let your money work for you. When you buy a stock of Amazon, and Amazon does business and does well, and the stock goes up, your money has made money, and you didn't work for Amazon. You didn't do any of the work that Amazon did, so your money works for you. And I think it's important that you start having a mindset of investing. I'm not saying you should buy Amazon. I'm just saying start thinking about investing in companies, investing in stocks and bonds and things like that. Learn to do it. Don't go, you know, when I invest, it's money that if that money goes to zero, we will live, okay? It's not the rent money, okay? All right? We're way down on the priority list at this point. I just want to make that clear. Okay. But it is a way to build wealth. It is a way to build wealth, to have your money work for you. And then real assets. So people who own homes know about it, know about home prices going up without you doing anything. You simply live there. As a matter of fact, you're using that house, and it's still going up in value. Imagine if you didn't mistreated so well, so badly, it'll go up even more in value. It's just going up in value because, you know, the area is going up in value. And I think it's a way to build wealth as well. All right. So always thinking about how do I invest? How do I grow in this way? You know, that's what God wants for us. The goal of all of this is to make sure that you're doing your job as a disciple better. Okay, for me, my conversion story, the guy that started the Bible with me, and I end with this. I was in college, and I was part of an intramurals team, a soccer team. So I was the captain of an intramural soccer team. So he wanted to get to know me better. So we did one study, but I mean, you know, you meet somebody as a disciple, you do a study, like, okay, cool, you're the Bible guy. And so he wanted to just build a friendship with me. And he found out that I'm into this. And he found out I was looking for volunteers to play on my soccer team. So he went out to the Duke's. I'm trying to remember the sporting goods store. He goes and he buys full gear, full soccer gear. Signs up for my team, buys the gear, shows up. I was incredibly impressed. You know, and I was just like, oh my goodness. I know that he's more into basketball than he was into soccer. But here he was, trying to build this relationship with me. And if he had showed up without gear, he couldn't play. And he'd be a cheerleader, but he couldn't play, right? But he went and paid, you know, and bought. Now, where did he get that money from? Because he was taking care of his finances well enough, so he had extra money, so when he met somebody who was into soccer, he was able to go and buy the gear to be all things to all men. Like, that's how this stuff works. It's not so that you can have money and say you have money. It's so you can use it to glorify God in the way that you're doing things. You know, I remember Stephen was talking about going mountain climbing with people and, you know, skiing and things like that. Some of these things you're like, it's too expensive. Well, is it? You know, if you take care of your finances well, that's how you're ever going to reach the skier, because the skier is not going to hang out with you because you don't ski. I'm learning to play golf. You know, not my first choice. But a lot of people that play golf in finance, if I want to hang out with them, I can learn how to play golf. Okay? You know, that's the goal of this. You have good finances. It's one less area Satan can use against you. But it's also one area that you can use to move the kingdom forward. Amen. You know, and it's something that gives you peace of mind. And it's not something that you're sitting up and worrying about. It's not something that's dragging you and consuming your mind. And you're so worried, you're not sharing your faith, you're not reading your Bible, because all you're thinking about is, how am I going to pay the bills? I think it's an area that we really need to start being open about, talking about, getting help with, and not, you know, letting Satan continue to win in this area. Amen? Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn. For more information about our church, visit bkchurch.com.